Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Movie and Mr. Film. This week we review Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 and Brzezinski the Movie. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Hello, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie. And just a couple of announcements. First of all, you may have noticed we changed our show opening, so if you have any feedback on that, please let us know what you think. Just send an email to mail@moviefilmshow.com. We appreciate your feedback and support. Also, another quick announcement about our website. We've updated our movie review index to allow you to sort all the movies that we've reviewed so far, so you can sort them by release date or by Mr. Movie's grade or Mr. Film's grade. There's also a grade breakdown on that page, so you can see the distribution across all the movies. Mr. Film, looking at these here, it seems like you've given a far greater number of A's and F's than I have, showing that I'm probably maybe a little bit more fair in my reviews, I think.
I don't know about that. I think I'm just more honest.
You can be the judge, Mr. Listener and Mrs. Listener out there. That's it for announcements. We're going to jump right into our first review here of, well, it's the penultimate installment of the Harry Potter series, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
These are dark times, there is no denying. Our world has faced no greater threat than it does today. But you can't fight this war on your own, Mr. Potter. He's too strong.
I must be the one to kill Harry Potter.
Well, Mr. Film, I have to admit I bailed out on the Harry Potter franchise two or three movies into it. It just turned too dark for my taste, and what was once a wondrous and fun alternate universe turned into a malevolent, destruction-focused, evil-focused series. But naturally, I'm curious how it all ends, and distributor Warner Brothers was kind enough to invite us to an advance screening of this nearly 2.5-hour movie. Now, a word of warning, much of this is very dark and horrific, one of the reasons that I abandoned it in the first place, and I'm surprised that it tendered only a PG-13 rating. This is really a borderline case, in my opinion, between PG-13 and R, and anyway, it's certainly not for young kids. So, not knowing what happened in the previous movies, I knew there'd be a little catching up to do and settling into the story. But Mr. Film, that never happened. I was totally lost the whole time. And from what I could gather, and feel free to help me out at any point here, Mr. Film, because I think I'll need it. Basically, this Voldemort character, the bad guy, wants to kill Harry Potter and rid the world of muggles, whoever they are. So naturally, and quite logically, in the opening scenes, Harry Potter and his friends, Ron Weasley and Hermione, go to a secret location to hide from Voldemort. And what do you do when you go into hiding from an evil being? Why, throw the biggest party you can and invite all your friends to join you, because that won't draw attention, right? Of course!
Yeah, never!
Why didn't I think of that?
Now, well, who knows?
I don't. Yeah, subplots here involve Potter needing to destroy a locket, for some reason I didn't catch, with a sword that he can't find, but suddenly appears out of nowhere with no explanation. And this is supposed to be stuff that doesn't require knowledge of the previous incarnations. Now, one of the major problems here is that these British actors' accents are so thick, and they mumble half the time, you can't understand what they're saying. Rupert Grint, who plays the Ron Weasley character, is especially guilty of this, though this plagues just about everybody in the movie. Also, you're going to need your Harry Potter dictionary if you decide to torture yourself by watching this movie. What words you can make out on the part of the actors are often made up, words of the gibberish goo-goo-gaga type that I guess, if you've seen all the other movies or read the books, you might follow them, but it becomes obnoxious after a while. Mr. Film, this movie should have been called Harry Potter and the Last Airbender, because that's what we've got here. This is a wannabe M. Night Shyamalan flick. Why anyone would want to be like that, I don't know, but they achieved it here. And the only value, as I said about Airbender on our very first show, is to watch this thing with the riff tracks. That's what that alternate track that you can buy and listen to while you're watching for comedy. Wait for DVD or Blu-ray, rent it from Netflix, buy the riff tracks, and have fun. That's www.rifftrax.com. That's not a paid advertisement, Mr. Film, but a plea to bring some sanity and understanding to this mess by people qualified to do so. Otherwise, skip this movie, and like Airbender, for the very same reasons, I'm giving this a D-.
Wow. Wow. But, you know, Mr. Movie, you know, your guess is as good as mine as to what the heck was going on here. You know, who knows? Who really knows what was going on? I guess not us. But all kidding aside, I get a geek-fueled series. I really do. But I don't get Harry Potter. And particularly, I don't get the Deathly Hallows Part 1. But then again, I'm not a fan of the series. And this film is definitely made for fans. And that's probably its biggest weakness. And for them, based on the audience that we saw it with the other night, it seemed to deliver. Good for them. But not good for us muggle-brained newbies. If you've never...
Whatever that means.
If you've never seen a Harry Potter film before, don't start with the Deathly Hallows 1. Start at the beginning if you must.
Oh, brother.
This is not a series like, say, James Bond or even the Narnia films where you can sort of jump in and get up to speed fairly quickly. They're all pretty self-contained. And dramatically, the film doesn't really work for me. It's filled with cliches and foreshadowing that's delivered with a punch to the face. I mean, come on. I literally had no clue what was what, and I was about two steps ahead of our heroes in a couple of instances about what they needed to do next. I mean, I knew that sword was going to come up, you know, in some ridiculous way. I also, and this is not because I'm a non-fan, couldn't fathom some of the plot. Now, Mr. Movie, you talked about the party scene, and you're right on it right there, particularly their reaction to this whole thing, having the party to begin with. And I don't know. I think I'd be building a fort and practicing my magic-to-magic combat skills. But again, maybe I don't get the whole thing. I also didn't get the haphazard way magic was used throughout the film. In some cases, the kids are flitting about, casting spells like ninjas. At other times, they seem completely outmatched by people who seem far beneath them skill-wise. For instance, I didn't get how Harry was able to stop Voldemort early in the film, but couldn't escape some thugs later on. But I'm sure the fans didn't question it, and I get that. But still. And the Nazi stuff. The Nazi allusions were a bit heavy-handed for me and seemed out of another story altogether. That whole diversion, it was just completely unnecessary in my book. And that's just apart from not even being a fan. I think just was too much. I do have to say that I did like the story within a story about the origin of the Deathly Hallows. The why do all of these magical elements just sound so meaningless? What the heck is a Hallows anyway? But I think what disappointed me most of all is that there's no wonder in the film. And that's something you alluded to. And that's what my friends and family who love the Harry Potter films always go on about. The little details, the creation of an alternate reality that is both fantastical but altogether real. We don't get that here. It's actually pretty dark stuff, with constant betrayals, near death, and a world so violently opposed to life that I think I would have thrown myself on my wand to put myself out of my misery. It's funny. I actually, and I'm sure this will shock you, Mr. Movie, I like dark fantasy. I'm a huge fan of The Golden Compass, and that's an extremely dark, complex, yet glorious film, probably one of the most visually stunning of the last decade. So I don't really get the dark, bluish tint to everything or the oppressiveness of it all. But maybe that's to make the presumed victory in Part 2 all that more striking. Finally, I think the biggest problem for me is the problem I have with most franchise films. They feel, well, pre-digested. I didn't get nervous that the gang was up against the wall and wouldn't get out of said scrape. I wasn't worried that the Horrocrux wouldn't be destroyed, whatever the heck that was. I wasn't worried that Ron and Hermione wouldn't still be in pouty love at the end of the picture. And even when a probably beloved supporting character bites it late in the picture, I wasn't surprised. But this is where wonder comes from, surprise. And the only thing for me that was surprising was how dull the whole endeavor was. Now, the grade on this is tough. I'm not a fan, so I suspect the fans will eat this up. And to them, I say, regardless of anything I've said here, or maybe because of it, go see the picture. For everybody else, and mainly because I like the puppet show sequence and had a lot of fun making fun of the film, I give it a D+.
Wow, that's pretty generous. That's pretty generous.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're talking about the story where they're explaining what the Deathly Hallows mean?
Yeah.
That you like that? Yeah, I mean,
I like the puppet thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that I like that, but what was the lesson there? I didn't really get the message. Like, the message didn't make sense.
I don't know.
So it was sort of all for naught, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought it was just somewhat interesting. For 2.5 hours, I was bored out of my mind. For 5 minutes,
I agree with you about that, and that's because it's like, oh, here's something new that maybe you can wrap your head around. It's short, it's easy to follow, but at the end of it, it's not. It's like, wait, what? What did he say?
What? Yeah,
yeah. Well, there is one other thing I have to say that I did like. You know, in the previous movies that I did see of Harry Potter, it was very much in this alternate, you know, universe, which was fun. And in this one, they're sort of like beaming in and out of the alternate universe and real reality. And it was kind of fun to see them in that setting and the magic there and whatnot. That was a little bit different from my past experiences. I've missed the past few movies, but I did like that a little bit. I maybe want a little bit more of that. But, you know, beyond that, this is just incomprehensible, and you can't even understand what the actors are saying when they're saying it. So I can't recommend this. This is just...
Yeah. You know, yeah. Well, I mean, I suspect the fans are going to eat it up, but, you know, good for them. So, anyway.
All right.
Our next film is a little bit better. I'd say a lot better than Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. It's Brzezinski the Movie, a documentary about the Kafkaesque struggle of one trailblazing doctor against the state of Texas, the FDA, and the federal government itself.
Why we don't develop cancer, all of us, is because we have protective system, we have antineoplastins who will immediately force these malignant cells to die by working on their genes.
So over the course of the last 8 years, annual MRIs have confirmed all that's left of the tumor is scar tissue. So Dr. Brzezinski cured me of a brain tumor.
It's as if she had a bacterial infection and Brzezinski treated it with antibiotics.
The FDA has made a list and decided who can live and who will die. I guess I didn't make that list.
I've had no chemotherapy. I chose Dr. Brzezinski instead after a lot of research. I was told that the chemotherapy that I could have would work for a while, but there was no cure. I've been in remission since 1989.
Now the FDA is saying to me, no, your doctor is a criminal. He should be put in jail and he needs to be shut down. This is criminal.
1991, the National Cancer Institute sent a panel of experts to Houston, and they determined that in each case of advanced brain cancer, Dr. Brzezinski's treatment caused anti-cancer effect. I should also point out there has never been an allegation, concern, or a whisper that his treatment is harmful or toxic, unlike many conventional drugs.
It constitutes nothing less than one of the worst abuses of the criminal justice system I've ever witnessed.
There's a government institution that disseminates false information and is not looking out for the welfare of the people. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I swore an oath 11 years ago, and I think most of us in this room swore it at one time or another to uphold the Constitution. It says life right in the beginning.
Now, Mr. Movie, we've seen a number of advocacy documentaries in the last few months, and I have to say, this is what an advocacy documentary should look like. It's measured, balanced, and relentlessly clear. And clocking in at just over an hour and 45 minutes, it's just long enough to build you up into a lather over what the government has done to a lone, brilliant doctor, Stanislaw Brzezinski, a man who made a simple discovery that has the potential to save millions of cancer patients from both the horrific regimen of chemotherapy and radiation and an early grave. But instead of being lauded as a medical trailblazer, Brzezinski has spent the last 3 decades being hounded, sued, threatened, and bamboozled. Not by unscrupulous investors or shady con men. That would be tragic. But by the FDA and the U.S. government, which is criminal. I really don't want to give much away here, but considering everything that Brzezinski has gone through, to still be a gentle, just, compassionate person and doctor is a testament to morality itself. The film, directed by Eric Merola and released by his company, Merola, is a well-thought-out film most interested in portraying a story about the man behind a medicine that is beneficial to, well, to everybody, but which has effectively been kept off the market by the very people who should be scrambling to get it into every doctor's hands, namely the National Cancer Institute and the FDA, among others. Now, Merola's technique is very simple here. Talking heads, highlighted memorandum, archival footage, and the occasional illustration. He's building a case, and that effect is profound. You get the portrait of a quiet hero who won't give up. Brzezinski is my kind of hero. He's passionate, he's right, and he's just. And that he's overcome every nightmarish obstacle put in his way is very inspiring, particularly since he doesn't whine that he's a victim. He has too much work to do that. And I did actually check out his website while preparing for this review, and he's still going strong, so that's even more inspiring. But what's most disturbing about the film is that while he's being pilloried by the government, it admits that his treatment for cancer, a targeted gene therapy called antineoplastons, is nothing short of miraculous. It's just that he's an individual, and his treatment could put big pharmaceutical companies, which are the main way the FDA gets its funds, out of business. Now, while I called last week's Marin Call one of the best films of the year, following on that, this is neck and neck for me, particularly in the documentary category. And I think I might have to have now a documentary list as well for my top 10 at the end of the year. There isn't a false note here. And I like that. I like that it feels real. It feels not contrived like we've seen some of these other advocacy sorts of documentaries in the last few weeks. But that being said, there are a couple of minor weaknesses. The narration is a little smarmy in spots, and I would have liked to know a little bit more how the treatment works. I think it's injected, if what I could gather. But those are quibbles. This is a must-see for anyone who appreciates inspiring stories, has known anyone who has undergone cancer treatments, or who cares about freedom. I give this a solid A.
Yeah, I agree with you on that totally. The few quibbles you mentioned, I agree with too. I think it could have used some subtitles for Dr. Brzezinski at times.
Yeah.
It was a little bit hard to understand. I think subtitles would have solved that without a problem.
Yeah.
You know, the congressional testimony in this, they bring in patients to testify before Congress in defense of Dr. Brzezinski, is just emotionally, it'll give you goosebumps. It'll bring tears to your eyes. I mean, these are people that, you know, went through the worst treatments of chemotherapy, and people's kids who have died and things like this, and also have been saved by Dr. Brzezinski's antineoplastins. It really is amazing. Now, this treatment certainly is not 100%, and they show this in the movie. They're very factual. They're very clear about, you know, it's maybe like in the 20 to 25% range in terms of, you know, how well it works. But, you know, in similar cases, they compare it with chemotherapy, which has horrible effects. Often the chemotherapy itself kills the patients. And it's maybe, you know, chemotherapy treatments like around 5% or so in the movie.
At best. And
these antineoplastins don't have any side effects.
Yeah.
So it is interesting to see this individual working, you know, within the law. Now the government is set up in such a way that the FDA, you have this big business and FDA and this really conflict of interest kind of relationship where the FDA is getting a lot of its funding from these big drug companies. And it kind of goes through that pretty fast in the movie. I wish it had slowed down a little bit. I didn't catch everything there about exactly how that works. And I do think that the movie does place its blame a little bit too much on these big drug companies. There was a law or something that was passed, a bill that talks about how basically these big companies can pay extra to fast track their drugs and get them through the system faster. But that in itself is understandable. They want to bring drugs to market as quickly as possible, and this was we'll just pay them off because that's the only way it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it does, you know, it does favor the big guy against the little guy here, and Brzezinski seems very clear from this movie that he's working within the law and he's done nothing wrong or illegal, but everybody on the other side is against him because of that. In a way, he's really challenging the system. So this is a really great movie. This is really a really brave movie. Dr. Brzezinski is really a hero here. It's heroic, inspiring. And all that he's fighting for is to save patients' lives with a product that has very little or no ill side effects. And these are people who want this treatment. You know, one of the things that's interesting about the FDA, it's like you have a doctor who wants to help people. You have patients who want to be helped by their doctor. Well, whose business is that but other than those two people?
Exactly.
Apparently, the FDA wants a piece of that conversation, and that is kind of horrifying. This movie will enrage you. It will inspire you. You will weep at some of these stories and these people's struggles. That this hasn't received a good distribution is a real tragedy. I think you can really only get it on DVD. And if you Google Burzynski movie, you should find it there. That's Burzynski. And then movie, that you should find it there. Watch the trailer. It's really impactful. It's well made. And it's just as important, in my opinion, as Waiting for Superman. Perhaps more so. I think more so than that. I'm going to go with an A as well.
Yeah. I like the very factual way that I think that it is really factual, the way that they try to be very fair the way they present their case. And I think advocacy documentaries could really take a lesson here from...
That's a great point, because at the beginning of the movie, they even say, before we get into this testimony that we know is gut-wrenching and you know, maybe is a bit over-emotional or whatever, we're just going to show you the facts. And yeah. I like that they set it up that way, that they said, we're gonna convince you first in your mind that this is true and this is useful and this is helpful. And then we're going to go and show you some of the arguments and whatnot and people that have been really impacted by this. I think that makes the emotional part even more emotional. And it also makes clear that we're trying to make a well-reasoned argument here and not play on your emotions. So I give it strong kudos for taking that approach.
Yeah, and you know, and we've talked about this in some of these other documentaries, that you know, a lot of times they're just dropping you in the middle of things. You have to either know a lot or really pay attention or just buy their argument and write at face value. And I think what Eric Merola did here is that he built a foundation. And I think that was, you know, that can be hard to do, because it's the sexy stuff is all the, you know, cancer survivors and the testimony and stuff. It's not, okay, this is what this does. It turns genes on, it turns genes off, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But he keeps it very focused, keeps it very grounded. He gives a lot of good data, but ties it into individual patients and then gives the big picture. So I this is really, and it is a, I think this is really tragic that this is not getting the kind of play that, you know, some of the other advocacy documentaries we've seen. And I hope everyone who's listening, go to the website, just watch the trailers. There are a couple of them. They're about 3 or 4 minutes long a piece. Get a hold of the DVD however you can and watch it and be inspired and horrified at the same time.
For sure. Definitely. I agree with that completely. And we'll put a link on the moviefilmshow.com in the show just so to make it easy for people to go check that out.
Absolutely.
Well, that wraps the show for this week. Mr. Film gave Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, also known as Harry Potter and the Last Airbender, Part 1, a D+, and I gave it a D-.
And Mr. Movie and I both gave Burzynski the Movie an A. Join us for our next show. We'll be doing reviews of Love and Other Drugs and The King's Speech. And Mr. Movie and I will both be discussing films we are thankful for. So tune in.
In the meantime, we hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving. We'll return after Thanksgiving with that show. And you can visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com. If you want to send us a comment, feedback, or have questions, just write to mail@moviefilmshow.com. And as always, tell your friends to subscribe to us in iTunes. Just go to our website and click the iTunes link in the subscribe box. And that's it for this week. Mr. Film, I'll see you next show.
Mr. Ruby, I'll see you show. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Mr. Film.
Please listen carefully to the following disclosure notice. FTC rules require publishers, like the Movie Film Show, to disclose that we may receive promotional materials from the producers of the products we review. And while the FTC may consider such materials a form of payment, such as free screenings or DVD screeners, we do not. Our editorial policy is that a movie studio or producer who has solicited us to review their movie has no bearing on our evaluation of the movie or the product in question. But as far as full disclosure is concerned, and with respect to FTC requirements, our official statement is the following. We may receive payment from third parties in exchange for any, all, or none of the content we produce. And such compensation may even influence said content in part, in full, or not at all. We may not tell you specifically which content has been compensated for and in which way. So assume all content is compensated for in the worst way possible, but allowable by law.
Finally, while we may pay full price for a ticket at a regular movie theater to review a picture, that still may influence our reviews because, damn it, the studio didn't give us a free screening. Or it may not. That is for you, the audience, to judge. And if you think that impacts our judgment, that is your problem, and you are free to listen to another movie or film review show. We don't really care. But we do thank you for listening to the Movie Film Show, and hope you will return. We're trying to make a well-reasoned argument here and not play on your emotions.